Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right?
Yeah.
Good. It's a wonderful day.
Yes.
Sunshine at last.
It's
if anybody wants to know what sunburn looks like, take a look at Josh's arms after the service. It's, yeah. That's a faith camp style, that is. Cricketers. I don't think they have sun cream, do they? There you go. Yeah, so today, starting a new series, selfie.
Yeah.
Interesting play on words. Obviously, a selfie is when you kind of get your phone and do something a little like this.
Do it.
There you go.
Lots of videos on Facebook.
Yeah, Matt looks happy. But obviously that's the word self. But selfie, we want to look at the importance of relationship, particularly for those of us that are followers of God, those that have found faith in Jesus, that relationship is so important. And it's almost like God is saying to his people, relationship's important, you need to do something about it. But the world is saying the opposite and trying to pull us away and literally pull us into a selfie kind of mentality, to the very point where instead of getting somebody else to take a photograph for you, you take it for yourself. And just this whole thing of you don't need anybody else, you can do it on your own, you can do the whole thing by yourself, you don't need anybody else. You are king, you are the one who has control, and you are the one that can make the decisions and do it on your own. As we heard last week in the final part of Health Check about the importance of relationships.
Yes.
And how that it was great to hear some of Charlene's stories last week about how relationships have helped her in certain situations when things were tough, when things were struggling. People helped to get by, and as I kind of closed the service last week, it really is true that you do get by with a little help from your friends. It's a true statement. We get by with a little help from our friends, and we all need it. And it's not just something that we look at and think, okay, relationships, great. We're not supposed to be a selfie kind of people. We're supposed to live together and think it's a good idea, but it's actually a God's idea. God dreamt it up when he created people. He dreamt up the fact that we're supposed to be together. He made us as a relational people. We are created relationally right at the very beginning, not long after he created the first man. He said it's not good for man to be alone. And yes, we refer that a lot to the marriage relationship and the man finding a wife, but it's not good for the man or the woman to be alone.
Yeah.
It's not good to be alone. And God dreamt up this idea that when he created us, he wanted us to be together. He wanted us to connect with him, and he wanted us to connect with one another. And so today, for this first part, I just want to look at building healthy relationships and how we do that. Why do we do that? There's two things, you know. Why do we do it, and how do we do it? And there's lots of different ways of doing that. And I just want to start by giving a bit of biblical background with regards to relationship and how important it is and how serious God takes it as well and how important it is to have relationships with others. And as we've heard last year in our Christian series, that when Jesus gave the command in Matthew 22, 36 to 40, and he said, when he was asked, what's the greatest command? And he said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And the next is just as important, which I'm still flabbergasted by that. That he's saying, okay, it's important to love God, but it's just as important to love one another.
Yeah,
it's just as important that you connect with one another as it is that you connect with God. Now, we've put a lot of emphasis on the connection with God and our relationship with God, and we think that's enough. And it really is true. You get by with a little help from your friends. You need other people. Hence in why Jesus said, yes, connect with God. Yes, you need to have a relationship with God, but it is just as important that you have a relationship with one another. Just as important. One without the other doesn't work. You can have a relationship with people and without God, and it's going to be a mess. You can have a relationship with God and without people, it's going to be a mess, and you're not going to last because you need those people to get alongside you.
Yep.
I always love the, with regards to an injury to the body, and how when a body part gets injured, the reason that you get swelling and bruising is because the blood rushes to that area to protect that area. It produces a natural protection, a natural cast around that area. And I love that idea. As soon as something's hurting, everything else in the body rushes to do something about it. And just like our relationships, we too need to be in a position where as soon as we're hurting, as soon as something's not going our way, we know we've got relationship with people that can rush to that point and say, okay, we're going to do something with you about this. We're going to help you with this. But If we don't do that and we find ourselves in a tough situation, we're kind of left dealing with it on our own. And God kind of looks and says, well, you need to be connecting with other people. You've got to be with others. Don't be selfish. Get yourself into a position where you have a good group of people. Not loads of people, you know, we're not going to have masses of people, but a good group of people around you that can come in and do something for you. And the relationship's important. Jesus emphasised that when he made that statement about loving God and loving one another. And, you know, Jesus loved relationship as well. You know, he was with people all the time.
Yeah.
He spent 2.5 years building a group of people, being around people. And I love the fact that a lot of the time Jesus was just with these people. He was eating together. He was, and things would just crack off. He was ministering and all these things were going on. And as he was going around in relationship with these people, he came and he set the standard and the example of, okay, I am God and I still on earth need relationship with these people. I want relationship. I need these people around me. I want these people around me. And he had a group of people around him. He set the example of what it was. If God didn't take it seriously, then perhaps Jesus would have come and not had connection with anybody. Just like, I'm going to come, I'm going to save the world. I don't want anybody's help. Leave me alone. I'm going to come. I'll live my life. I'll go to the cross and then I'll get back. Job done. Don't talk to me. He didn't do that. He came and he built relationships. He had connections with people. He set an example of what it was to be in a truly God relationship. Jesus was not selfish. He was a good connector with people. He made a point of that and he really built it. And God's important. It's important for God, for his community, the church, to build together. He's building his church. And he says, I will build my church. He's building his church and he's building the relationship. God is concerned about, he puts major concern on the relationship of the church. Mm-hmm. That we connect with one another. That we connect with people.
Yes.
That we are not just going it alone.
Sure.
We need to connect with other people. And you know, the New Testament has lots to say about relationship. It's got a lot to talk about what we should be doing and how we should be doing it. And some smart people are really good at stats. I'm not one of them. I didn't work these stats out for myself, and I couldn't. I don't get it, but some smart people are really good at doing stats. So it's estimated that 44% of the letters of the New Testament are about how we should get along with one another. 44%, that's nearly half a percent of the New Testament letters are based on how we should get along with one another. And get this. In contrast to about 4% on spiritual gifts. How amazing. 44% about how we should get on with one another. 4% on spiritual gifts. The letters that were being written were literally telling the people of God, this is how you need to treat one another. This is how you need to be with one another. Love one another. Care for one another. Honour one another. Look out for one another. Encourage one another. Strengthen one another. Correct one another. All these different things. But so often in our, as we've moved forward into our lifestyle as we are now, we don't put so much emphasis on understanding one another and learning about one another and looking at how we're supposed to treat one another. We put a lot of emphasis on the teachy side. We actually have flipped it on its head and go 44% spiritual gifts, 4% relationship. And we kind of just want to get through and think, well, if I can learn more about being godly, then that's all good. Which is great if you're just going to go it alone again. But you need to connect with other people. And the emphasis is there. I'm not doing the work today. The word's doing the work. Jesus said it. 44% of the New Testament letters say it. So therefore, it's clearly important that we need to connect with one another. And how we do that is, you know, there's word after word after word in the Bible. Read the New Testament. Read Paul's letters and see how much he addresses the other church and saying, this is what you need to do with one another. This is how you do it. And I'm going to get all Greek now, a Greek word. I should have brought my bottle of Metaxa to have when I'm having a Greek. A Greek word, allelon, occurs 59 times as a specific command. And the word allelon richly translated means one another or connecting with one another, allelon. And 59 times that occurs in the writings of Paul and the other letters. And that is just amazing, 59 times. And that's with regards to what you should do. That's not even taken into account of what you shouldn't do. So we're told 59 times there's a concept of one another, relationship, in the New Testament writings, in those books, it tells us 59 times, one another, one another, one another. And then on top of that, there's also that you shouldn't do this to one another. So we're actually told what to do, and we're told not what to do. And then as we start to move forward, so we've got the command of Jesus, and we've got Paul's writings, we've got the writings of the other letters of the New Testament. Also, in the book of Acts, as we kind of heard a little bit last week, the first two characteristics of the early church were that they devoted them to themselves and the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Teaching and fellowship took a real big part in what they were doing. The first two things they did, teaching and fellowship, which is amazing. The apostles' teaching and fellowship. As we heard, they got out, they loved doing stuff together, they were hanging out together. And I love something about that, the gathering of God's people were together doing stuff. So again, it's there. And as we start to look at it, and as we've become more focused on, in modern day society, that we become more building focused and we become more meeting focused, that our relationships tend to suffer. And as we start to try and turn that ship in the modern day culture of saying, okay, let's not just get about ourselves, let's start to see about recognising I need other people in my life and other people need me in their life, because this is God's design, this is God's plan. And it kind of starts to tip on its head, and we hear that in the world of people who suffer from depression and things that tend to get them down and pull them down, and a lot of it's linked to a lack of companionship with other people. And the mental health charity Mind, this is a direct quote, has warned that men can be hit by depression because of worries about money and job insecurity. Long working hours can have a dramatic impact on men, but spending time with friends is considered a key part of combating depression. Depending on who you're hanging around with, you might disagree on that one, but it's a key part of combating depression. So when we kind of find ourselves in a situation where we're not connecting with people, it's easy to get low, it's easy to get dragged down, because we've not got those people to just pat us on the back and say, come on mate, it's going to be all right, don't worry about it, it's going to be good. We need those people, and science tells us that it's good to interact with one another. They're eventually again, well done science, you've caught up with what the Bible's told us all along. Always one step behind. But science has taught us and told us that it's good for people to connect together. All kinds of things tell us it's good for people to connect together. It's good for people to come together. It's good for the people of God to be together and to be relational with one another. And a lot of the time we get strong on teaching and we know a lot, but yet we're weak on fellowship. In modern day culture, we're weak on fellowship, we're weak on what it is to really connect with people. We're kind of looking for something to be there rather than just doing it. And good teaching, obviously, is needed. We need good teaching. It's not a substitute for fellowship, but the two need to go hand in hand. We can't just sit around hearing loads of good stuff. We've got to be able to get around and chat about the good stuff as well and enjoy being together and enjoy talking about the stuff. It's all well and good, you know, getting the notes and doing what you want and studying it on your own. But it's good to get together and chat with people. It's good to get together like these guys were doing in the book of Acts. You know, they were getting together, they were hearing the apostles teaching, they were breaking bread together, they were praying together, they were loving being together. They weren't just sat there listening to somebody speak. I'm convinced that they were sat around enjoying having this time together. And God wants that for us. He doesn't want us to be selfie. He wants us to be a people that connect with one another, that really link in, get together and do exactly what he created us for, which is to relate with him and to relate with one another. I'm just wondering if I can say one another 59 times like in the New Testament this morning. We'll have to go back and count it. And how we do that? Lots of ways. There's lots of different ways that we connect with people and that we do things that, you know, I've got a bound of boundless books and relational things and stuff that tells us if you do this, this will work. If you relate with these people, this will work. If you do this and all these things. The one thing that I want to bring to morning, and it's more of a refresh because we have looked at this a number of times before, is Gary Chapman's 5 love languages. And now that's just a complete download from God with regards to how to connect and relate to people. But Gary Chapman's 5 love languages was a direct download from God, because this stuff is so amazing. And transforms relationships, and it originally started out as a marriage book about how to relate to one another in your marriage, and then into your, how to relate in your family. But the whole thing expands beyond that and goes right into any form of relationship that the five love languages of Gary Chapman are. Basically, we'll tap into how we're created and who we are and what we do and how we function as a person. And as we understand that about somebody else, we're able to link that connection with them even stronger. So it's, for example, you're not trying to do something and build a strong relationship with somebody but going all about it the wrong way. This kind of, this stuff helps us to recognise, okay, so that person is like that. I now know I can build a relationship with that person based on this. And, you know, some people will do it, some people won't, some people will get it, some people won't. You'll ask people, what's your love language? And I'll come into explaining those in a minute. And they will think, I don't know. But you explain it and say, oh yeah, I can see actually, I'm probably that kind of person. And you can work through that. Some people have more than one. We all have all five operating at some time, but there's a primary love language that really speaks to us. And as soon as that somebody does something that is an action or a word with regards to that love language, our love tank fills up. A good love tank, not that kind of love tank. Our love tank fills up. Our love tank fills up. And we start to feel energised because this person is expressing love to us in a way that connects straight into our heart in such a way that we say, I feel loved, this person gets me, this person understands me, and I feel drawn to connecting to this relationship as opposed to pushing the person away. So the five love languages, the first one is words of affirmation. And again, we probably all love to hear words of affirmation. We love to hear when people encourage us, when people say, you did a good job there, or that's really good, or, you know, especially kids, that their love language is words of affirmation. They're looking all the time. If you say, that is such a good picture, that is so good. And at the same time, they want you to be honest as well, in some ways. It's kind of, you know, they're not, well, why are you telling me it's good? I know it's not good. It's like, well, you tried your best. And it's probably sometimes good to say, you tried your best. And words of affirmation, whereas when we encourage people who are words of affirmation, love language, when we encourage them and we speak kind things to those people, they're drawn and like, and they suck it up and they're kind of like, man, I feel so good, I'm going to take on the world. But harsh words really tear these people apart, really tear these people down. And what might seem like a passing comment to you can absolutely rock this person's world, and you might think, well, I didn't really say anything. But it's like, well, actually, if it's that person's love language is words of affirmation, it can be more crushing than you would know. So speak nicely to one another, because you don't know if you're speaking to a words of affirmation love language. And I can guarantee, if you are harsh in a bad way to a words of affirmation person, you're going to crush them. You're going to crumble them, and their love tank is going to be completely drained. And chances are they're going to avoid you, because they're going to think, well, I'm not getting into that again. You know, my love, I'm not getting hurt. Again, we'll come on to stuff like that later in the series. But whereas, as we start to do that, as we recognise, I know that person's a words of affirmation love language, so I'd better make sure that what I say can't be taken the wrong way. I'd better make sure that what I'm saying is encouraging. And if something needs to be brought, like correction, it's done in a good way. I came across a really good way of bringing correction to somebody, and it was kind of like just saying to them, you're far too awesome to be behaving like that. Remember who you are and stop it.
Good.
You're far too awesome to behaving like that. Stop doing it and remember who you are. I thought that's great. Because it's an encouragement that you are awesome, but you're more awesome than, you need to rise above that kind of behaviour. Second, quality time. Quality time. These people just love spending time with people. It's an important aspect of their life. And it's not just about spending time, but quality time love language people are the kinds of people that want to show you everything. So like when they've done something, they want to show you straight away. So like especially kids that are like Elijah, he's got all of these operating in some way at the moment, but quality time's quite big for him. And when he's done something, he'll want to show you it straight away. And like whether it's lining up his Avengers figures perfectly, or whether it's lining up the pots on the edge of the bath, or he likes lining things up. But when he does stuff, and when he's done something, whether he's drawn something on the wallpaper that we have on the floor, he drew on the carpet the other week, that was Yeah, blue crayon straight down. It was a train track, apparently. I had to really turn my love on then, and I do love you, son. I hope this is going to wash off. Quality time. So these people like to spend time together, they like to show stuff, and it's not my primary love language, but I'm a bit of a quality time kind of person. Like when I've done something, I straight away, a bit like a kid, it's like, come and have a look what I've done, come and have a look. So at the moment, I'm renovating and reassembling a playhouse in the back garden at the moment, and it's looking fab, but like I'm out there, I've been working on it the last few nights, and I keep knocking on the window and saying to Sam, come and have a look, come and have a look. And I think to myself, I'm being a bit like a kid here, but I kind of like, I'm looking for words of affirmation, and because it's quality time as well, I'm saying to Sam, what do you think? And then I kind of get disappointed if she says, I'm not sure that's slapped straight, or this is like, I'm not interested in what you don't think looks right, just tell me, does it look okay? And I'm kind of like, and so Elijah's probably got it from me, because he'll just like drag you in the room and sort of like point to something that is done, and it'll be like it's usually something's lined up, like the Avengers, four Avengers figures are lined up, or something's all, yeah, he does these strange things. The mind of a 2.5-year-old. But quality time, and these people just love it. And the blow of death, the death blow for these people is when you just don't give that time. Like, I'm too busy. Sorry, son, I can't do that. I'm just busy. Or you just don't show any interest. Like, yeah, okay. And it's like, oh, but I need you to see this. And their love tank starts to go down, and they start to feel as though the love's not there. But these people like you to just show that interest of, yeah, that's brilliant. You don't have to lie if it's not, but show an interest. That's what people are looking for, you to show an interest. These people need you to recognise that, okay, you have my time, and it's not just about time where you're sat on your mobile phone and doing stuff. It's if you're there, you're in the moment. These people need you in the moment. You can't be distance. You can't be present in body but not in mind. Quality time people need you present. They're not the kinds of people that, they don't connect very well with networkers. I talk about networkers. Anybody that's been to conferences and you're speaking to people that are networkers, and you're having a conversation with them, but they're looking over your shoulder to see who the next person is they're going to go and speak, and you're kind of like, hello, I'm here. And so I think one time they just says, oh, you're obviously really busy, and I just walked off. I'm not much of a networker. I try to like focus myself in on the people, and like, so yeah, okay, I'm with you. I really do want to go and speak to that person over there, but I'm with you. But, you know, there's certain conferences I've been to, and these people are just like, it's like, do you want to go and speak to that person over there? Yeah, okay, well, now we can go. For a quality time person, that's not going to work. That's going to crush them. Next, receiving gifts. Receiving gifts. Now, these kinds of people... This is one everybody's like, oh, yeah, it's just, you've got to buy something for those people. It's like, yeah, but these people, it's not about a value thing. It's about a heart connection with the person. It's recognising that this person feels really loved when you give them something. And what it speaks to those people is, I thought about you, and I love you, and I care about you. And when I saw this, I thought of you, so here you go. And these guys are like, whoa, I feel so loved right now. I feel so amazing. And it's great because receiving gift people are also the best people to receive gifts from, because they kind of like, they're the ones that have got the knack of like recognizing what people like and what people do. And like they take an interest in people more than most people will. And the kinds of people that when you get a gift from this person, you think, wow, this person. So if a receiving gifts person gets a receiving gifts person a present, it's kind of like, it's poof, love explosion. It's kind of like, we're connected. It's kind of like, this is working. This relationship is working. And, you know, these kinds of people, the killer blow for them is like, when it's like, okay, it's our wedding anniversary, or it's my birthday today. Oh, is that today? I'm really sorry. Can we do that tomorrow? Like, that's a killer blow. Like, I'm really sorry, I forgot. That is a killer blow. Forgetting major events, because the love language people that have receiving gifts as their primary focus, everything is focused so much on that day. You get these kinds of things wrong. It's like, oh, what did you get me that for? And they can sometimes come across as being a bit selfish, a bit selfy. But generally, it's that the love language, just the love kind of like goes down. And as sometimes I find myself in situations, I'm a bit of a receiving gifts kind of person where... something might not quite happen as I expect on a birthday or whatever, and I'm kind of like, oh, I didn't want it to happen that way, or everything's against me, and oh, a good example would be a friend of mine who one of the birthday presents I got this year was like a Captain America shield light, which goes on the wall, and it has a sticker that makes it look like there's a crack in the wall, and the Captain America shield like looks as if it's stuck in the wall, and it's a lamp that you can switch on. It was like, whoa, that is so cool. And Sam's like sat there like, Sam doesn't get it, you see, that kind of thing. She's openly admitted, she'd said, I've kind of looked at stuff like that for you before, but it just doesn't make sense to me. It's like, it's not supposed to make sense. Look, it's a Captain America shield lamp. What more do you have to say? But, you know, she's trying. She did say, I'm going to try. And, but it's like, that spoke, it was like, whoa! It's like, okay. And, like, so the way that I operate, like, this kind of the stuff I got, I think somebody's comment was that your birthday presents looked more like the list of a 15-year-old boy. So it's kind of like a Captain America shield lamp, Lego set, a bow and arrow. It's kind of like just... Add some beer as well to, like, bring up the age limit. But that kind of, like, spoke to me as a personal gifts love language. It was kind of like, wow. Receiving gifts love language. It was like, whoa, not only is this a gift, but this is a gift that somebody has noticed. This person likes this kind of thing. This person is a geek when it comes to superheroes. This person's favourite superhero is Captain America, so we will get him that present. And that kind of like, I was just buzzing. I was kind of like, that's so cool, so good. It's going to go on Elijah's bedroom wall, though, so that's the... he gets to have it now because he loves Captain America as well, so nothing to do with me. Okay, next one, acts of service. Number 4, acts of service. And these people... They're not that. They like to receive gifts and they like words of affirmation and they kind of want to show you stuff, but they don't feel loved if they get those things. They kind of need you to be doing something. So, for example, Sam is all out acts of service love language. So I could pay £100 for a bunch of flowers and they could be the most beautiful flowers which she would like, but if the kitchen needed cleaning, she would have preferred me to have cleaned the kitchen and would feel much more loved by me if I'd have done that. And these people, the acts of service people, just like you doing stuff for them, helping them, offering to help, being there. And it's all about, it's an acts of service based on what they need. It's not what you thinking, well, that would be a good idea. Like, for example, like these acts of service people will recognise and think, okay, well, I can see all these things that need doing. So, for example, it might be like you clean the whole of the church building and it looks immaculate. But if the acts of service person, if in their head they wanted the main room clean and it was the only room that wasn't cleaned, they're not going to feel loved. It's going to be like, I really like the fact that you've done that, but what about this one? So it's kind of like, and that is it's a funny one really, because these people just want help. They just want people to come alongside and say, how can we help you with that? What can we do with that? And the killer blow with an acts of service person is that they don't recognize, they just feel totally unloved when you won't help. You just sat there, or they need help with something and you just totally refuse, flat, no, sorry, not doing that. Or, no, I haven't got the time to do that. See, some of them cross over, you see. But as we do that, and as we start to recognise that people who are acts of service need help and they want help with stuff and they want you to get in there and help them based on their terms, and there's great clips of different things you show where, like, a guy is... it's an advert, if I'd have got it, I could have done it. He's fixing up the bathroom and he's retiling the bathroom. And you think he's like doing the thing that his wife actually wants because she's an act of service. And you think, oh great, it's fixing the bathroom. And then as they pull the curtain pole back, the curtain is like a moose's head on the bathroom wall, which is bought as to hang loofahs and sponges on and stuff on its antlers. And it's just like, ah. At first you think he's operating in the love language and his acts of service, but actually he's just doing that because he wants to do his own thing. And that is a killer. So it's like it's not about doing what you want to make the person feel loved. It's about doing what they want. And they will feel loved when you do that. And as you can see, this applies to marriage, it applies to your kids, and it applies to everybody. Like I said, you know, the examples I'm using today are generally from people that are not Elijah or Sam, because I want to make the point that this is not just a marriage concept, this is a God concept. And final one, physical touch. Physical touch. Now, that doesn't mean like giving them a slap. Okay? Physical touch. And I'm not a physical touch person, okay? I'm not a physical touch love language, and I'm not a physical touch person. I'm kind of like, you know, you can keep your distance for all I care. It's a but these people, and this is a difficult, I should have got somebody else that is this love language to come and explain this a bit more, because I don't get this as much as some of the other ones. But these people just kind of, they feel loved when it's, whether it's just a stroke on the head or a hug or a shake of the hand or a pat on the back. And these people feel loved by those things. These people feel loved when you do that. And love language people that are a physical touch that just don't get any contact, the tank just starts going down. It's like, again, it's like, and then somebody comes in and gives them a hug, it's like, and they fill up and it's like, whoa, I feel ready to take on the world, I'm going to like go for it. And I kind of learnt one of my friend's love languages this week was physical touch, which I was totally unaware of. And I found out that from this particular person that when I just did pat them on the back at a certain point, that means the world to them. And that makes them feel really encouraged and ready to take on the world. To me, that was just like a, there you go, mate. Just a passing thing, but to that person it meant the world. And I was like, really? It's that? And I was like, okay, I really don't, this love language. But Elijah is a love language, is a physical touch more than anything, and he's just going to be touching all the time, and it kind of sometimes gets really annoying. he's got to be in contact with you. He's physical. He loves like just cuddling, and he loves like jumping on you, and he loves wrestling, and he loves like even when he's sat in his high chair eating, if you're sat with him, he's like got his foot stretched out and he's like rubbing his feet up and down your foot, like on your leg like this, and it's kind of like he loves touching, he loves getting in there, and with the people that are closest to him, he kind of jumps all over them, and he jumps all over me, and he jumps all over Josh and Dan, and he loves just getting in there, and so he feels loved when he's being touched, and especially from his mummy. He loves cookies with his mummy, and all kids do, but Elijah just loves it when he likes to have his little cuddles, and he's a physical touch kind of guy, and he just loves it when you're doing that with him. And yeah, it was great to start to see that develop, and as your kids grow up, you start to see these love languages come out, whereas with adults, we're fully formed, and we're aware of what our love languages probably are, and as I've been going through them, some of you have been thinking, yeah, that's definitely me. Some of you are cringing and think, yeah, I know that person's that love language and I did this. But the whole point of this is to have a check and say, okay, we're talking about not being selfie and we're talking about building healthy relationships, and this is a good thing to do, because when we get this kind of stuff right, people start to feel connected to us, and the people who understand your love language are going to be the people that you're drawn to, because they'll start to operate in that. They'll start to help you see that connection is important. When people just pass it to one side and say, I'm not interested, kind of like, it becomes a bit of a strain. Whereas when we're operating in the love language and people feel loved and we're loving one another in the way that God wants, we start to see a shift and a change in those relationships. I can say that for those people that I connect to, those love languages I am aware of, and those who are aware of my love language, those connections and those bonds are stronger with those people than ones that I don't have that information on. And it just helps, it really does help. So perhaps it's something that as people we can start to maybe understand a little bit more about each other. And I just want to finish off on this with regards to building healthy relationships. And this is a truth that we've all got to accept to ensure that we are able to build healthy relationships with one another. This is something that is a challenge for most people, and it's this: you cannot control other people. The only person you can control on a good day is yourself. And a lot of the time, these relationships with other people start to break down when someone starts to try to control the relationship, starts to try to control the other person in some way, becomes the powerful person in the relationship and starts to put themselves above the other person. We cannot control other people. God does not control us. God doesn't control us. We have freedom. The Bible tells that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. And our relationships should be built by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. So therefore, there should be freedom and liberty within our relationships. We don't have the power or the authority from God to control anybody. He doesn't even control you himself. He leaves you to make your own decisions. He instructs and he guides and he helps, but he does not control you. God does not control, and neither do you get the opportunity to control other people. And that is a strengthening thing in a relationship, when you recognise that when I do my side of this relationship, when I do me and I let you do you, this is going to work. But the moment I start to control you and try to control you, I can guarantee you're going to start to distance yourself, because you're not going to like being around somebody that's wanting to control you as a person. And we can do that in a whole manner of ways. Manipulation, we can use it, you know, the whole silent treatment thing, which some of the guys are like, yeah, get that. Silent treatment, I'm not going to speak to you until I feel you've suffered. Little comments to people of saying, little dropping little things in there, and starting to gradually, I want to control our relationship, so therefore I'm going to put these things at play until I have full control of this relationship and I have full control of you. The whole point of love language is to connect with the person based on their love language, and it's about them doing them and you doing you. And that is a healthy way to operate in any relationship, whether that's with your spouse, whether that's with your kids, whether that's with your friends, whether whoever it is, recognizing that I don't get to control you. I have not got control of you. I've got control of how I respond in this situation. How you're going to respond is up to you. How I respond is up to me. All clear?
Yeah.
Cool. Kind of finished on a bit of a hard note there, didn't it? Yeah, but no, you do. It is something, it is important to really nail that and recognise I can't do this. I can't. If I start doing it, then I'm losing it. It's about being powerful, but being powerful with your own actions and your own choices and your own ability to connect with somebody. But the main point is that you do connect with people. So start to put into practice some of the stuff this morning, recognising that God's plan and God's emphasis is that we relate with Him, we relate with one another, and we'll make a real focus on that. And as a church, what I'm asking us to do is to commit the month of June to building these relationships, building relationships with one another, to commit this month as we go through the selfie series, to commit a month to praying for relationships, praying for people, and physically connecting with people. So it's great to sit here and hear about all these different things. Now's the opportunity to put it into practice and do something with it. So throughout this month, we have three Tuesdays, which would have been Connect group meetings. What we're doing on those Tuesdays is we're giving you the freedom to, okay, get connecting with whoever, but connect with people. Put something into practice. It could be somebody who's in your Connect group. It could be somebody that's not. It could be somebody that's, you know, in a different one, in church, whatever. But on those three Tuesdays, use that time to do something with it. I've already got people coming to me on Tuesday. But, I had a head start. I figured I'd better do something with it before today, so I can't like get up and say, you've got to do this, when I've not done it myself yet. Use this time. Why? It doesn't have to just be the Tuesdays are there so you to be able to do it. With, you know, it's about investing into being together and doing stuff together and building relationship. And we don't build relationship by sitting around talking about relationship. We kind of build relationship by doing things in relationship, and that could be anything. Some of you might decide you want to get together and pray, that's great. Some might decide you want to get together and do a Bible reading or something, I don't know. But some of you might just want to have coffee and cake or whatever. Some might want to involve kids, some might not. Some might want to do couples, some might want to do... All these different things are available. I'm not going to put any more ideas out there, but these nights are there to put into practice what we're learning on a Sunday. So I'm not going to do homework. I've heard of one school that's planning on dropping homework, so I reckon it's linked with depression. There's depression again. not homework, but the activation of today's message and this series is about doing something with it. So perhaps Tuesday would be a great time that whoever you get with, having a little chat about the love language stuff and saying, oh yeah, actually, that's how I feel. And really connecting with those people. And I just want to reinforce what Charlene said last week, really, in that don't feel like you have to connect with everybody. Okay, you're going to give yourself a massive task that's too big if you think, I've got to connect with everybody. Find some people that you're going to connect with, because there's going to be certain people that you just hit it off with, certain people that you get in the room with them and it's easy and it just flows and things start to come off and crack off and it's like, wow, this is cool. These people encourage me. Not that we should connect with everybody, but there's going to be certain people that you're just going to have that deep level connection with, And I want to encourage you to find those people. If you've not already, find them. You've got this month, committing the month of June to doing that. And then again, Faith Camp in July. It will be a great time for really investing into these kinds of things as well. So we've got a good couple of months ahead of us. But what you do with that is up to you. It's up to me. It's up to all of us. We've got a choice as to whether we're going to do something with it or not. Let's pray. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you that as we trust in you and look that you have created us for relationship, you've created us to connect, you've created us to be together. And as we see that in your word, as we see that in the teachings that you brought yourself, that you downloaded to Paul and the other writers of the New Testament, God, I thank you that we can have that opportunity to live in those relationships. We have an opportunity to work at those relationships. God, I pray that each and every one of us would find people that we connect with. God, yeah, that we would recognize that not everybody's going to connect with everybody, but everybody needs to connect with somebody. That we would connect with somebody, that we would be strengthened, we would be built up, we would be encouraged, that we would have those people there around us that are ready to rush to us when we need that help, that we're not closed off. God, help us break through a selfie mentality. Help us break through living in a world where, yeah, we're told we can do this on our own, go it alone. I thank you that there's no solo success. God, that each of our success is dependent on each other,
yeah,
and on you. God, as we commit this month to strengthening and building godly relationships with one another, that we will see the fruit of that, that we will see the fruit of strengthened relationships in their house, that we would also see the fruit of others looking on and saying, look at those believers, look at those followers of Jesus, how they treat one another. I've got to get in there. I've got to be a part of that. That people would truly look in and say, look how they treat one another. They truly are Jesus' disciples. God, that we would live how you've called us to live, in relationship with you and with one another. Help us this month to do that. Help us to go against the grain of the world's mentality and live kingdom. In Jesus' precious mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.